Let's start recording. Okay, everything appears to be working on my end. Yakima Glock says we have music. Why do we have music? We're not supposed to have music. So let's figure out why it is that we have music. There should not be any music. Okay, and I'm going to keep messing with this here. Okay. We have ticking again. What do you mean? What ticking? Let's see. We have Susie B. says she can hear me, but I don't know. Okay, Yakima Glock, the ticking is gone. It's country music playing. Okay. On the 64, someone check the 32. Being okay. All right, this is the way it's going to be for tonight, and I don't know why. I can't get music, anything to play off of the computer or off the internet. So there's no intro, there's no nothing. It's just me, and that's all you're going to get until I get this figured out. Mouse Lady, welcome, by the way, Mouse Lady. I'm glad you made it in tonight. She says she's still hearing ticking, and I don't know what the ticking is. So there's, all right. Well, let's just, let's go with what we got here. Welcome to the shooting bench. It's the 28th of December. A couple more days here, and Amy and I is going to do our end of the year show. And, get ready for New Year's. We've got plans for New Year's Day. Not so much for New Year's Eve. It's just another day. We're not even real big at staying up and watching it come in. It's just we may this time just to see what kind of see what happens across the country and around the world right at midnight. We'll see what happens. Probably nothing. We've been expecting something to happen for the last several, 4 or 5 years, and we've got nothing. So we'll see what happens. We may watch it just for the heck of it. Okay. Looks like everybody's hearing me right now. Lag time is pretty big, and that's kind of, it varies. I don't know why the lag time is that way. It's, it shouldn't, you shouldn't even notice the lag time unless you're going back and forth. You shouldn't know when I'm saying something and when it comes to you. So I'm not sure how you're figuring that out. But anyway, Yakima Glock, I think people would not like me to sing. So we're just going to have to do without music tonight. Okay. Well, let's see. Oh, if there's... Okay, if there's sounds from the chat postings, let's see here. That is not on my end because mine is turned off. So if you've got clicking, well, it must be somewhere else because mine's turned off. And I've only got one window open, so it couldn't be that. Okay, let's get started here. We've got... All right, January 1st. We talked about this a little bit the other day. I'm just going to refresh your memory just a little bit on some new gun laws coming in the People's Republic of California. It's just a quick recap here, and I'm not sure how they're going to enforce this, and I don't know how they're going to penalties. Well, I do know the penalties. It's going to the new rules will take place January 1st. First thing is it includes a new definition of assault weapons and handgun storage for cops. New definition of assault weapons and handgun storage for cops. Two different things there. The first bill that's coming in. People that own magazines that have more than 10 rounds, you're going to have to turn them in. You're going to become a criminal as soon as, Mouse Lady, if you're hearing me all right, that clicking Okay. Down in your very lower left-hand corner is a little bitty tiny speaker. Click on that speaker and you can turn that clicking off. Anybody that's bothered by that. So any high-capacity magazines, you're going to have to give them up, to render them inoperable, turning them into a dealer, turn them into law enforcement. People that buy an ammunition are going to have to start going background checks. Now, this is unbelievable. This is the furthest anybody's ever taken it. And I'm disgusted with California. I'm always disgusted with California. It's worse now. There's also a new law that closes this, what they call a bullet button loophole, and categorizes those firearms as assault weapons. The second bill is going to try to curb the amount of firearms stolen from cops. Now, how is it that you make a law? Isn't it already against the law to steal guns from cops? Maybe not in California, but in most places it is. So this bill is supposed to attempt to curb the amount of firearms stolen from officers. So I don't know what to say. I'm floored. Okay, now it's against law. It's even more against the law now. It's against law before. We're going to tell you it's even more against the law because we want to curb the amount of firearms. Well, apparently, this thing is still hooked up and still working because I could hear myself on TuneIn while we were having a discussion there. There's a huge lag, several minutes it seems like. Let me know. Let's see. Let me get the chat room brought back up here and see what's going on and see if anybody can hear me. Let's see what's happening here. Live mic. I hear what you're talking. Doc, you must be hearing a different one than everybody else. Okay, I may be hooked back up. We are back, apparently. How weird is that? Let me see if anything else is still working here. All right, well, let's try it again. See what happens. Now, we were talking about new gun laws coming into come into effect January 1st in California. And I think we pretty well finished that. The Tinker says you can hear us on both streams now. So, well, we'll just keep working here and see what happens. Let's see. New law first was the magazines. The next was the bullet button thing. And then the second bill was to attempt to curb the amount of firearms stolen from officers. That's where we were at. And I don't know how making another law against that. If you break this law, I'm going to make another law saying that it's against the law for you to break that law, I think is what they're doing in California. Kind of stands to reason, I guess. All right. Well, as long as we're up here, let's see if we can do another one. It looks like it's extra loud too. I don't know how to turn that down. I'm not even going to mess with it. Every time I touch something, it goes to pot. So I'm just not going to mess with it right now. All right. Well, Metallica has left the building. Well, no, actually, they're just leaving California. The main singer, let's see, what's his name? James Hetfield. Fed up with California, and he's moving out. He said he's tired of the liberal elitist attitude. I'm not a Metallica fan, but I may have to entertain notions of playing it once in a while just for out of respect for James Hetfield. He says there was an elitist attitude, or I guess he is gone. He got fed up and already left. He said there was an elitist attitude there, that if you weren't their way politically, their way environmentally, all of that, that you were looked down upon. They talk about how diverse they are and things like that, and it's fine if you're diverse like them. But showing up with a deer on the bumper doesn't fly in Marin County. My form of eating organic doesn't vibe with theirs. Some of the gun laws definitely don't make any sense, but also the Second Amendment is very important to me. As an NRA member, I don't think we need to be afraid that if we compromise on some things, that they are going to change so much. I don't want to make it easier for someone to have an assault weapon, but I also want to be able to protect my family. So he's not all the way with us, but he's close enough that he's headed out, I guess. You know, California tried to legislate cow farts here a couple of months ago. Not sure how that's working out for them. But the fuel in California is the most expensive in the country. Always is, always has been, as far as I know, or at least in recent history. Anyway, all of this stuff, they finally just, the lead dude from Metallica says, I'm out of here. That's enough. I've had it. Well, let me look and see. Well, I can only assume that everything is still working all right. Okay, well, let's take advantage of this while we can and see if we can get a couple more stories in here. And we'll run a little overtime tonight to make up for the all the snafu we've had going on there. Social Security issues. This is going to be a problem for some of us here pretty soon. May be a problem for some of you already. They, Yakima Glock, I'm afraid you're right. I'd like to patronize Metallica as much as I could, but I think about 2 seconds of them is about all I can stand. But, anyway, I gotta applaud their stance here, at least his. I don't know how the rest of them are. Anyway, Social Security Administration has announced that it had finalized its rules regarding who will have their names added to the national, into the NICS system. This was after the proposed rules published in April received more than 90,000 responses, mostly negative, from the public. NRA opposed the proposed rules for a number of reasons and urged its members to protest them. On down here a little bit, a quote from that says, we are not attempting to imply a connection between mental illness and a propensity for violence, particularly gun violence. Rather, we are complying with our obligations under the NICS Improvement Amendments Act of 2007, which require us to provide information from our records when an individual falls within one of the categories identified in 18 U.S.C. 922G, it shall be unlawful for any person, blah, 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 to deal in firearms, da, 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 da. This is circular reasoning for the first order. The SSA first determines that a mental defective must have his name submitted to NICS, which then results in his automatic inability to deal in, possess, or keep, or bear arms. And this is all coming through your Social Security information there. So, boy, they're getting after us from all directions. Do you know what we're going to do about it? Nothing. Same thing we always do. We're going to watch. We're going to sit around and bitch on the radio and complain on Facebook, and that's going to be about the size of it. So there you have it. We get everything, or we deserve everything we get, I guess, as far as that goes. Some of you are familiar with Queen Latifah. I guess that's how you say it, Latifah. Yeah. Amy just corrected me. her car, she was in Georgia. She was down, she's in Fulton County. I'm not sure what town it is, but Fulton County is not too far from Atlanta. Anyway, her car was stolen at a gas station. Just jumped in the driver's seat and took off. And how many times do we see this? We've talked about this a number of times. Not only have people just jumped in and taken off with cars, they have jumped in, grabbed purses, pulled people out of their cars, and people are just simply not aware enough of their surroundings. And we're never going to get 320 million people or whatever it is now to develop that sense of awareness. But you'd think somebody as rich and high profile as she is would be, you'd think that somebody in that, in her shoes would be a little more alert to what was going on, or have somebody with them that was paying attention or something. I don't know. But, we're in a time now where we can't afford to, and I've said this a number of times, and evidently Queen Latifah doesn't listen to the show. So if you guys can get a hold of her and tell her to start listening to the Shooting Bench, maybe stuff like this wouldn't happen. Okay, let's see. I got to skip over some of that. I've got so many of them now for, because I've had all these shows ready for the last month and having trouble getting them on there. So Albuquerque has been dubbed a dubious honor of being the fifth most violent city in the nation here just a few days ago. For, if you go down on Central Avenue in Albuquerque, you'll find out why. That's the one place that I go armed with extra magazines, throw a shotgun in the truck, and don't get out of the truck unless it is absolutely necessary. That's one place I don't even like to go by myself, and there's not too many places that I can say that are like that. If any of you are still keeping up with the Finicums and what's going on, as a matter of fact, I saw one of Lavoie's daughters today. They were here visiting her mother and called and wanted me to come by and see them, and I swung by there real quick and saw the kids and visited for 5 minutes and went on my way. But there's a new story out called Locked Out. Some of you may have seen it on Facebook or wherever. And it looks like BLM now is keeping Jeanette Finicum off of both their pieces of property up there. They're not allowing them. They don't have any problem with her putting her cows on her sister-in-law's allotment, and that's where they're at right now. She has forced them, or they have forced her to feed those cows, to buy hay for them for the last several months, because they wouldn't let her get back on her lease. And she spent a lot of money doing that, and they've just about broke her now. And of course, that's what they're trying to do. She said in this article, she says, "My husband is dead because he went out to help the Hammonds. He stood for them. Now the federal government's trying to real hard to make an example out of my husband. This is what will happen if you dare stand up." It's like they're saying, you get in your place and don't get out of it again, or we'll put you in solitary confinement, or we'll kill you. That's what I see happening. Innocent people are in jail right now. And that's a quote from Jeanette Finicum. They've got two separate grazing permits up there, their summer range and their winter range. The one is obviously a little lower than the other one. The summer range is up higher. And they have locked her out of all of that. They've got about 100 head. They had 100 while I was up there helping them with everything. They had about 100 head of cows and calves. And you start feeding 100 head of cows hay, and it gets into your bank account pretty quick. So they're trying everything they can do to break her. Jeanette said the BLM fined her trespass fees for the days the cattle were on the winter allotment prior to October 15th. The days continued to accrue even after the October 15th turnout date came and went. She has now filed suit against the BLM. She was trying everything she could do not to, this is a long story, obviously I can't read it all, to you, but, they said that they dry lotted the cows, meaning they were in a feed lot through the summer, to avoid selling the whole herd. And she tried to meet BLM requirements, planning to turn her cattle out on winter range at the proper time. But, fines of over $12,000 had, mounted over the trespass when negotiations continued, just a dead end for her. Well, she decided to pay all those fines in full. And I'm really surprised that she did that. But with a, you know, it's 50 miles of dirt road. I've told you that from her house to her range. And they started moving the cattle in there on October 13th. And planned to make about 15 miles a day until she arrived. They were driving them in there. They didn't haul them in trucks. They were actually driving them in. Her mother-in-law agreed to deliver this check, $12,355.47 for all the trespass fees and her application. I'm a little surprised that that she would do that. By doing that, she is recognizing their authority, and that's I don't know. I'll have to talk to her about that and see what her deal. I think she's trying to keep from losing everything, but I don't know. It's she's very upset about this whole thing. I mean, not just her husband's death, but, and by the way, if any of you are up in the Pacific Northwest, even if you're not, if you can afford to travel, I'm going to try to get up. I'm going to try really hard to get up there, but it's not looking good right now. If I possibly can, some of you might be able to make it to in Grant County, where Lavoie was headed for the meeting the day he got killed. You know, he was killed one day before his birthday. And this thing is going to be taking place. It's the meeting that never happened is what it is. It's going to be in Grant County. I'm not sure exactly. Probably at the courthouse. I don't know. It'll be easy to find. Lots of stuff on the internet about it if anybody's interested in going. Go there and support the Finnecombs. Support the Hammonds, support liberty, support freedom, and, you know, if nothing else, go in and support Jeanette for this period so hard on her. Let's see, I got too many microphones here. Stand by a second. Let me get rid of some of this stuff. And, wow, I'm wondering, I bet this is even better, isn't it? I got way too many microphones and too much stuff going on here. So that's probably even louder than it was. All right. Well, we're just going to have to let it be loud. Let me roll this thing up out of the way a little bit. It might help a little bit. All right. With all the lag, I'll find out here in 20 minutes what you guys are hearing. But anyway. All right. See a little bit of discussion on there about Uncle Mike's holsters. And, you know, Uncle Mike's they're not bad for the money. They're not great, but, for what you pay for them, they're not bad. I've used them for, you know, off and on. I've got one for my 10 millimeter that has been worked real well for me. And, it's not my first choice by any remote stretch of the imagination, but if you're, you know, a little limited budget, you know, you can find these holsters for $20, which is not that much cheaper than some of the other ones. You can get injection molded Blade Tech holsters for $25, $28, and, well, I think they're more like $30, $35 now. But, Uncle Mike, some of their holsters are pretty junky, but, their molded holsters seem to be about on par with, you know, Phobos and some of the other, generic type, molded holsters. They're not that bad. Yeah. Well, yeah. Peanut Rider says cheap is expensive if it doesn't work. Yeah. But that's what I say. That I haven't had any, Uncle Mike's holsters that didn't work. I just don't like them. They're not as robust and solid as the ones that I like to wear every day. But for, you know, for the occasional wear of the recreational shooter or something, they're okay. All right, stand by. You're going to hear a click, but you're not going to hear any music. Stand by just a minute.
Amy, would you mind bring me your Hessen? Kelly, would you bring me that red cup, please?
All right, now I'm back. That didn't take too long. That was pretty harmless, wasn't it? Thank you, sweetheart. All right. Let's, as long as everything's working all right here, I think it's still working. Let's see, Albuquerque, Mark McConnell, we've been through that before. Got a lot of these things. Here's one, let's talk about this. There's, there was a 47-year-old woman, I think I tried to talk about this last night, but it, or Monday, but it didn't work. There's a 47-year-old woman, her husband and 10-year-old boy, 10-year-old son, out, that's because I must have my other mic turned on too. Amy? Susie B says she didn't hear it. She heard me bossing you around there. anyway, this woman found alive after her, the car broke down. They had a rental car and they were out going into the north, north rim of the Grand Canyon. There are signs all over, from Flagstaff, all over the Arizona Strip, everywhere that says that the North Rim's closed in the wintertime. Well, evidently they ignored the signs. You can't miss them. They're everywhere. they got up there and they had a rental car and it broke down. So after a while, she says, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take some food and water, and I'll go get help. So she left, and the 10-year-old boy and the man stayed at the car. And eventually, I guess he wandered around there and found cell phone service and called BLM or someone. And him and the boy were frostbit when they found them, but they found them and they're alive. And, so then they started looking for the, then they started looking for the woman. They covered about a 12-mile radius around there and couldn't find her. They finally, a BLM ranger stumbled on her. She was 27 miles from the car and was found in Ranger Shack on the edge of the Grand Canyon up there. And yes, she's all right. She's going to live. She was responsive, but very, very cold and not doing real well, but she's going to survive. Now, how many times, I don't know how many times we've done shows, stories where people have left their cars. And remember that one that was, I believe it was in northern Arizona or southern Utah or somewhere in there. I can't remember, but there's a woman and her husband left their car. No, the woman stayed in the car. The husband went out walking and he walked around the circle, found him dead 3 miles from the car. She was in the car and survived, if I remember the story correctly. Most of these stories that we do, they eventually find the car. Sometimes it's empty, but they eventually find the car. So the common advice is, and the best advice for most people, if you're not pretty experienced, even if you are, it may be the best advice is stay with the car. Now, why did the boy and the man have frostbite? Well, the obvious answer is because it was cold. But evidently they had no idea what resources they had at their fingertips where they were at. They were up on the Arizona Strip on the North Canyon. That country is absolutely covered with what we call shaggy bark cedar around here. Shaggy bark cedar or alligator juniper, either one, shaggy they're two different trees. The bark is different on, and the quality of the the wood's a little bit different too. But both of them will burn just as well green as they will dead and seasoned. You can cut down either a shaggy bark juniper or an alligator juniper, either one. Cut it down green, flourishing, in perfectly healthy tree. Cut it down, put it on fire and light it right now. The shaggy bark juniper, which there are thousands where they were at, has a bark on it that was the reason they call it shaggy bark. You peel this stuff off, you get a handful of it, and you just kind of grab a strip of it in one hand and grab the other end in the other hand, just kind of work your hands in a circle, and it fluffs up into a little nest that is just the tiniest spark will light it. So, you know, obviously these people didn't know about that and didn't try. Because if you try at all with this stuff, even a little bit, you can't help but start a fire with it. It's so easy. Whether they were from out of state or not, you know, you'd think that they could have found dead wood around there and start a fire even if they didn't know about the shaggy bark. As I said in my book, there are several other things you could do. You could yank the back seat out of the car and set it on fire. You could take a pocket knife and or a nail or something and poke a hole in the gas tank of the car and take a little bit of it out away from the car and start a fire. You could burn, let the air out of the spare tire and set the spare tire on fire. There's no excuse for getting frostbite when you have a car right there, whether the car runs or not. But at any rate, the whole moral of the story is, first, and Rolex is right, they should have some type of survival kit. If it's a rental car, wherever they're from, doesn't matter. People are so complacent and think that everything is just hunky-dory that they won't throw in a small pack with just a little bit of stuff in it. Apparently they had food and water. I don't know if she took all of it or if she just took some for her little trip or what. But, you know, each one of those people should have had a very small kit just with, even if it was just a few granola bars and a little water and matches and, you know, a little bit of just a very, very little bit of basic stuff will, you know, it's nice to have these high speed, low drag, survival kits that people sell with all a ton of crap in it that you don't know how to use and never would use if you knew how to use it and all of that. But, basically you can get by with four or five items and help, and at least save your life. You know, a candle, beeswax candle, preferably. Just a few little things. I mean, we won't go into the whole 72-hour kit thing right now, but anyway, the moral of the story here is to stay with your car. Fortunately, they found her and she was okay. All right. Oh, by the way, this lady was out there for 2 nights. She took off walking, I think Thursday. It was out Thursday night. No, she took off walking Friday. It was gone all day Friday. Friday night, and they found her about midnight or goodbye, late Saturday night. And she was out there. It was snowy. It was cold. And fortunately, they're all going to survive. Okay, well, that's just one more. There is a propane dealer in Maine, and Rolex, you know, a lot of these new cars, most of these new cars, maybe all of them, don't have cigarette lighters anymore. That's the first thing that comes to mind for those of us that were raised with cars that do have cigarette lighters. But I haven't seen any of these new cars. No rental car that I've gotten for the last couple of years has had a cigarette lighter in it. And that's unfortunate because you're right. the cigarette lighter would have started a fire. Another thing we did, my dad and I did this one time, showed me how to do it when I was, 12 or something. You know, it's funny that my dad, twice, at least twice that I can remember, he was a smoker. And I can remember two times that we've tried to build a fire and he didn't have matches or a lighter. Well, what we did one time was we, luckily we had tools. So we pulled a spark plug out of the truck and, hooked it back onto the wire and got a little piece of, little rag and put just a little bit of gasoline on it and then turned the truck over after we grounded that spark plug, got a good steady spark out of it and lit the rag on fire with the gasoline on it and used that to start a fire. And the other time that I remember is the time that I mentioned in my book, where my first book, I should say, where we got out and got lost, and the horse that I was riding was an old moon-eyed old mare that would have walked off a cliff if because she couldn't see anything at night. So we wound up having to stay out there. And And long story short, we damn near froze to death. But anyway, he didn't have any matches that time either. Time that we needed them the most. And that was probably the one incident in my life that, life changing incident. Maybe that's not the correct term, but what's what we're going to use tonight. Because I think that's what began my obsession with survival and preparedness and all that. And it's been ever since. And I was probably, I don't believe I was carrying, no, I don't think I had a gun that year. So I must have been 6 or 7. Cause I started carrying a gun when I was 8. I was carrying a 30-30 when I was 8 years old. When we went hunting. So I was probably 6 or 7 years old. And, anyway, that's all I got to say about that. Let's get back to this propane dealer. This propane dealer tried to do something like Southwest Shooting Authority did once. And he has refused to sell propane to Trump supporters. Now, how does he know they're Trump supporters? Well, in this case, it's not going to matter. In my case, I would have never known if people kept their mouth shut. I would never know whether they were an Obama voter or not. If they said that they were, then I would not have sold them a gun. If they didn't say anything, I'd never know. In his case, people just quit going there. Because everybody uses propane, and I'd say it's safe to bet that there was close to 50% of his customers. All they had to do was see the sign. Nobody that voted for Obama come to my shop anyway, or damn few. In his case, all they had to do was see the sign and say, well, I'm not going there anyway. Well, come find out, some of the people got to digging around in this. And, found out that his license had expired to both sell and dispense, two different licenses. One of them expired in 2012, the other expired in 2014. And, so as it turns out, he's not going to be selling propane to anybody, no matter who they voted for. It doesn't make any difference. And I think that's awesome. Oh dear. Let's see, Doc's got a good point. Primer and powder in any cartridge, it's easy. I know you carry a Leatherman, right? You got your Leatherman while you're hunting. If you don't, you can take the tip of a rifle shell pretty easy and just push it, have the tip facing away from you and push it back and forth, on a rock or a tree or a solid spot until the bullet loosens up a little bit and pull it out and, have that gunpowder there to start a fire. What else you can do is, once you get the bullet out of there, carefully, but keeping it pointed upwards so you don't spill the powder out of it, carefully rechamber it in the gun, and take a cotton ball or a little bit of cloth or something, and not a whole bunch, just a little bit, and poke it down the barrel, point it up in the air, pull the trigger, and that powder will light that cloth on fire. You know, a Kleenex or something, you know, a piece of denim probably wouldn't work very well for you, but a Kleenex or a cotton ball or a little bit of lint or part of a mouse nest or something like that. A little bit of that shaggy bark, juniper bark would work pretty well. Don't point it at the ground and do it, because as soon as it hits the ground, it's going to go out. So you point it up in the air, have all your stuff ready, and go and catch that burning cloth and get your fire going. There are literally dozens, maybe even hundreds of ways to start a fire. And people are going to be messing around out in the Arizona Strip, need to study up on some of those ways to build a fire. So, anyway. All right, let's see here. Let's see where we're at. There's, I think I told you the other night, I'm just going to tell you real quickly, that Arizona has adopted a requirement here, a state requirement in schools, that kids learn cursive writing by the third grade. And I think I mentioned that. I don't even remember when the last time I was on the air now. Remember here, what was it, 2-3 months ago, maybe longer than that, maybe 4 or 5 months ago. But remember we talked about the attorney in Atlanta that was riding around with his wife in a car, his wife and another couple. And evidently he was in the back seat behind his wife. I'm assuming that the girls were up front and he was in the back with his friend. And, anyway, he shot his wife in the back through the seat and she died. Well, he has been charged with involuntary manslaughter and reckless conduct. Yeah, this was in September. So after all this time, they have charged him. They didn't get him for murder, but nevertheless, it's not good for lawyers to be charged with involuntary manslaughter. So they continue to say that he continues to say that the shooting was accidental. And, they said none of the Flint friends out there have any reason to believe otherwise. He said he's always got along well with his wife and they have no reason to believe, for any reason that he's not telling the truth, but that's one of those times when a 38 special revolver, one shot, you know, killed his wife. And that is definitely unfortunate. But I think if I remember the story right, he had they were in a bad part of town. I guess he decided, well, I'm going to have this gun ready in case something happens. Okay, well, I get that to a degree, but it doesn't mean driving down the road pointing it at your wife's back with your finger on the trigger. And the revolver, there's not likely that any other thing could have happened other than he just got a little excited or hit a bump or sneezed or whatever and pulled the trigger. So if... And in my class, I show you some, in one of my classes, I show you some pictures of a guy that did the same thing. He was hit in the elbow, fortunately, and not in the back. It didn't kill him, but it wrecked his arm pretty bad. His compadre was sitting in the back seat and they were on the way to the range and they said, well, since we're on the way to the range, I'm going to make sure my gun's all squared away and whatever he was doing, we don't know. But, he reached into his range bag, which was sitting on the floor between his feet in the back seat directly behind the driver, and pulled out a 45 and was doing whatever he was doing with it, and it fired, or he fired it. It didn't go off. He fired it somehow. And it went through the back seat, hit the driver in the wrecked the heck out of his arm, his elbow. had a whole bunch of pins and staples and stuff in it, putting it back together. And anyway, he's well, that was, there was no new developments in that story. It just reminded me of this other one, this attorney that shot his wife through the back seat. Now, in this happened in Brooklyn, where nobody else can have a gun except cops, you know, for the most part. There was a U.S. Marshal, a grumpy U.S. Marshal, evidently, who was not enjoying his extended wait at a McDonald's in Brooklyn. So he whooped out his loaded gun, pointed at the cashier and customers. Of course, now he was drunk. He's 30 years old, stumbled in there and about 1:30 or so in the morning. And right away, just got ticked off for having to wait and stand in line. Who stands in line at 1:30 in the morning at McDonald's anyway? Now, that was weird to me to start with. Anyway, he started yelling at the cashier and all that about the long wait for his food and everything. Then he pulled out his loaded service weapon, pointed at the cashier, and then turned around and was pointing his gun at the customers in there. So they say he zeroed in on a 21-year-old man behind him in line and tried to intervene on the cashier's behalf. And that U.S. Marshal wasn't having none of it. So as all the workers trying to dial 911, his order came up, he paid for it, and took off. Well, the cops wandered around the area and found the guy out on the street. He was arrested, hit with a whole slew of charges. Menacing, harassment, and violating licensed firearm regulations and so on and so forth. So this guy still lives with his father in a ritzy part of Brooklyn there. One of the customers there, 35-year-old woman getting her food, says you can't go anywhere today without something happening. And you know, she's right. But I think her point was probably, I say probably, I have no clue about this, but I'm guessing from where it was at and the conditions under which this happened, I'm guessing that she was saying this in a way that we need more gun legislation, we need more laws, we need to do something. You can't go anywhere anymore without something happening. But my point is, yeah, you can't go anywhere anymore without something happening, which is why even now more so than ever in the history of this country that you need to be armed. Armed all the time. All the time doesn't mean some of the time. All the time doesn't mean once in a while. Doesn't mean most of the time. It means if you're awake and out somewhere where you can, I realize there are people that are their jobs absolutely prohibit them from doing that. I say change jobs. It's kind of hard to do for somebody that's got, 19 years in. You got 8 more months to wait on a retirement. Obviously, you're not going to quit your job for that. But if you've just started a good job, and obviously, I'm just speaking for myself. I would do that. I would drop it in a heartbeat. Or I would, I don't mind risking getting fired. I'm not going to risk a felony. Let's say I worked in the post office. I'm not going to risk a federal felony to continue to carry my gun. But if I work in a bank here in Arizona, and they have a policy against it, which most banks probably do, and they had a policy against it, then I'd quit. I wouldn't work there. I would not go to work for the post office. I would not work somewhere where it would be a federal felony for me to have a gun. Because it's, as I told somebody the other day, I said, I said, where my gun is not welcome, Cope's not welcome. And that's the way it is. And I wish that everyone out there would adopt that attitude, and we'd probably get some things changed here eventually when people were when people start losing money because people are not not doing business with them or not going there anymore. Anyway, what Mini Min Pin? What nugget are you talking? You said hello nugget. I don't see nary a nugget up there in the chat room. I don't know if you're talking to yourself or you give somebody a new nickname or what. Anyway. Okay. Well, it's funny. We're gonna actually, I think, get a show all the way done here. I've got a couple things that I wanted to play for you, but I can't do that right now because of the settings. You know, something wrong here. So, I'll figure it out. Here's another one that kind of goes along with what we were talking about. Texas man who had, they say allegedly, they use that to cover their butt all the time, killed his friend while the pair drunkenly messed around with a gun on Monday night, said it was empty when he pulled the trigger. Well, that's, according to the affidavit, these two were out celebrating their 24th birthday together. About 1 o'clock in the morning, the guy pulled a gun from a drawer, put it around in the chamber. They say it wasn't the first time they'd messed around with guns. And anyway, long story short, he shot his friend in the chest and he died at 1:30 in the morning. So he's facing manslaughter charges right now, which is a felony. He could spend 20 years in prison. So, okay. All right. I got you. I wasn't reading everybody else's. I didn't read the Tinker's post there. All right. And yeah, it just went off. Didn't know it was loaded. You know, and you guys have heard me say this 8,000 times, and I'll say it 8,000 more times, but it doesn't matter whether you think the gun's loaded or not. It doesn't matter if you were the last one to handle it, and you know damn well it was unloaded. You still don't point it at people and pull the trigger. Now, you know, we understand that there are controlled conditions sometimes during a training exercise when live guns are used. There are a great number of fail safes, I guess, that you go through to ensure that it is absolutely mechanically, physically impossible for the gun to fire. But that's a little different than just the average guys out messing around. There are more people that get shot, more people get killed, more people get, you know, wounded, maimed, paralyzed, whatever, from unloaded guns, from people messing with guns that shouldn't be, for people leaving guns out where children can get a hold of them, for people letting people get a hold of them when they're drunk. How many stories have we done where people had been drinking, got a hold of a gun and killed or injured someone or themselves? So I can't stress, I can't say it enough times, that thou shalt not mess with guns when you're drinking. And Doc, I know that that's, a lot of people use that. I don't use that term, that phrase. And I'll tell you why. I understand the idea behind it. I understand the sentiment there that all guns are always loaded all the time. I say that you should treat all guns as if they were loaded all the time. But you and I both know that if I take the magazine out, clear the chamber, take the ammunition into another room, have a second or even a third party look at the gun. The gun is absolutely not unloaded, but you still treat it as if it were. I think that when to use that kind of it insults my intelligence and my students both when I tell them that all guns are loaded all the time, because obviously they're not. But they should certainly be treated that way under any condition, loaded or unloaded, by yourself, with somebody, doesn't matter. Always treat them like they're loaded. And the Mouse Lady's got a nice little tidbit of information, warning for you. Don't look down the barrel of a rifle. Yep. Makes perfect sense to me. I think that's probably a good idea. A good idea not to, that is. Rifle, pistol, shotgun, revolver, makes no difference. Don't look down the barrel. Okay, let me check, and I think we're just about to catch up with our, stories here. Let me see how we're doing. Oh, there's a neat, you'd have to watch the video on this, and I haven't got it pulled up on this new computer, so I can't post the link for you. But there's a guy here that has, decided to get out and test some guns, doing things that most of us haven't done. I actually did this with some of the cut shells, the ringers, as they call them, with shotguns and whatnot. But this guy took three Glocks out, one in 9mm, one in 40, and one in 45. And, and Doc, I'm sure that's what you meant, but that is actually what the original four rules of safe firearm handling. Colonel Cooper did say all guns are loaded all the time. And I thought you were probably just repeating that, but I understand that. I know that you understand that they're not. Anyway, this guy sat out there and he took three Glocks, 9mm, 40, and 45, and set up three cinder blocks. Interesting little test. Of course, it doesn't prove anything, but he shot the blocks in the same place. Each block had its own new block. Shot a block with a Glock. And the 9mm went through I believe the 9mm lodged in the block. I don't remember. I'll have to watch it again. The 40 did. The 40 went through it very handily and bounced off the inside. The 45 actually hit the block and bounced back and landed right at the guy's feet on the video. And it didn't break. It didn't. There was no spalling or nothing on the inside of the block. It didn't break it. And it did crack the block, which the other two calibers didn't. Of course, the 45 being bigger around and heavier and slower, smashed into it and literally cracked the block. But the bullet came back and landed, 3 feet in front of the guy. The 40 did not crack the block, but it did very much go through one side without any trouble. And the 9mm, if I remember right, the 9mm lodged in the block and knocked out some of the inside, knocked a big chunk of it off the inside, but did not completely penetrate it, if I remember correctly. But if I ever get everything running correctly here, where I possibly can do things the way I used to do them. I know it's, I'm surprised they even have 12 people on the chat room tonight and have had Scott and Pick in much trouble. I've got a heck of a nice new computer here to do all this, but for some reason the sound card in it is not. I've gone through, yes, Yakima Glock. It was stock Glock, and I believe he used Full Metal Jacket ammunition in each one of them, if I recall correctly. I think that it's the sound card is somehow not performing the way I want it to, and it's not working with the external sound card that I got here a couple of years ago. So I'm still struggling with this, trying to figure out how to make it work. And believe it or not, I'm on Winamp now on this computer, and it's working fine. Winamp on my other computer, twice in a row now, has not. So that, I have no earthly idea why that is. And also, my internet has gone out twice tonight. I have no earthly idea why that is. I told the tinker, I said, I was cussing, I was mad. And I said, I think God is just tired of me doing a show. No matter what I do, it's, you know, I'm getting stopped at every turn here to keep me from doing a show. But we were persistent tonight, and we prevailed, and we actually, we did get finished with this. So I will get a little bit of music added to this. I'll doctor this one up a little bit, and I'll get it on the podcast soon. I'm behind on my podcast, but not too much because I haven't done very many shows for the last month or so. And I want to apologize for that. I'm not, it's not that I'm, you know, apathetic or lackadaisical about what I'm doing or that I've lost interest. I've just, it's just been the most amazing set of events here has kept me from doing a cop and pickin' show. Rolex, it's funny you should mention that. Because we're going to talk about a 22 Magnum here, probably next week. And Mouse Lady, I know Frontier, I hate Frontier, I hate them. I used to think that my phone company up in Farmington was the worst in the world. Wrong. Frontier is the worst phone company in the history of telephones. So I just ticks me off till I can't stand it, but they're the only game in town. So until I get rich and famous and that, PayPal thing starts ringing up the cash here, then I'll get a satellite set up and we'll abandon Frontier. But until then, we're just going to have to keep plugging along here and doing the best we can. So I have no going away music for you or anything tonight. All I'm going to do is say goodbye. And, it's yet to be seen. I'm going to have to, maybe I'll download a fresh version of, Winamp on the other computer and see if we can get Liberty Lounge to work. As it is right now, I cannot do Liberty Lounge on this computer because I can't get anything to play, out of any of my music files or anything. All you can do is hear me. And that's not going to work for Liberty Lounge. So sometime between now and Friday, I'm going to see if I can't do something about that. So you're going to hear me go away very abruptly here since we don't have any music, and I will see you all hopefully Friday night. Good night, and I appreciate you joining me tonight. Bye-bye.